from In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vasquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vasquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 242 of The Next Step, a podcast that looks at life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Yeah, way back there. But we polish it up for today, and we call that polished look oxy. So take a step with us as we look at a life today through those lenses. This podcast is being brought to you by the people at Epostle, that's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, we have been to the mountaintop and we have come back. What a weekend we had! Just returning from the MLK retreat, the annual event sponsored by the In His Shoes Mission. And I got to tell you, this is the 10th year we've done it. And each year gives us an opportunity to reflect and really focus in. I think that these retreats are so important. They're important in the sense that, it really is true to the name retreat. You retreat from your daily grind, from everything that's going on. And you have a few days. I was going to say a few hours, because really, when it comes down to it, it goes by so fast. It seems like it was just a few hours that we were there, but actually 3 days. We're up in the mountains. This time we were in the mountains. We've done them at the beach. We've done them in different settings, but this time we were up in a place called Big Bear in California. There was actually snow there, and for this Southern California boy, I got to tell you, that snow was so welcome, and it was so beautiful. We slid down those hills. Yeah, we did all the fun things that you do in snow, but also had a chance to stop and reflect about a great, great, great person. Well, those of you who followed the In His Shoes Mission know that he's one of our heroes over here, the great late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who also affixes, very rightly so, the Reverend title to his name. And it's so important to remember that he is Reverend King, because his teachings are based on the teachings that we all need to really focus in on, the teachings of Christ, the teachings of God, the teaching that peace is something you work for. Peace is it is attainable, and you need to set your sights on that. So we went up to the mountains. Well, like we do every year, we go away from our surroundings. We went up to the mountains, Big Bear, California, and we had a chance to sit around, talk, discuss, study the teachings of Dr. King. We even listened, actually, one of the days. What we do is we have different services, and we culminate in the celebration of the Holy Eucharist, and we did that outdoor. Do you know that for the Holy Eucharist to be celebrated in the Armenian Church, you need what is called the vemkar? Actually, it's a redundancy, isn't it? Vem is the stone, actually the rock. And every altar in the Armenian Church has been consecrated with holy myron. Now, you've got to remember that there are situations, there are times throughout history where a church has not been available to celebrate that Eucharist. And so they celebrate it on what is called the vemkar, especially a consecrated stone consecrated by the bishop. And it is on that stone. And of course, in an emergency, you can consecrate the communion. You could celebrate the Eucharist on a Bible actually on the Gospels. You do it right on the Gospels. But if you have the, if you don't have a church, you get a Vemcod. You don't have a Vemcod, you use the Gospels. But we did have a Vemcod because where I'm serving in Glendale started off as a youth ministry center some 10 years ago. And then Archbishop of our diocese, the primate of the diocese, Archbishop Vacha, had consecrated this stone because at the youth center, we would have divine liturgy. We would have the celebration of the Eucharist, even not in the form of a church. It was a church because people were coming. Did that make sense? I meant, like, in other words, the building didn't look like a church, but people were there, and we would celebrate, we would consecrate the Eucharist. So that stone has been with me for the last 10 years since the consecration of that stone, since the beginning of the youth ministry, and that's when we began these Martin Luther King retreats. Now, I got to tell you, it was eye-opening to me, and I want to start from this point, and we're going to be just really kind of analyzing this. I've asked Linda Zadoyan, who does the Compass program, if she has some time to stop by the studio today, and I don't know if she'll be able to stop by. We'll see in the next few minutes. It should be evident if she's going to come by, because she had some insight too. I wanted her to share it with us, and I'm going to push her to do a Compass broadcast soon, because I know you're waiting for it. I'm waiting for it too. But we had a chance to discuss a few things, and I'm going to share those with you in a few minutes. We have Anush coming up in the show. She's going to be doing her pomegranate seeds dedicated again to this retreat. So you're going to get a few different vantage points. You're going to hear about what we do over there, and hopefully you'll understand why this is so important. And actually, we've been talking about kicking around some ideas for a really grand, spectacular event in the future. But let me leave that for the future. Let me talk about what happened, because I had some issues going up this year. I had some issues. First of all, the local, I won't use his name, okay, one of the local politicians had offered some tickets to go to the inauguration of President Obama, and I really wanted to go. I figured this was an opportunity, first of all, to be at an inauguration, an inauguration that was very special to me, and I wasn't able to go because we had already put down our deposit on this retreat, and I knew I had to get up to that retreat. So I was kind of like disappointed, wasn't able to get out to Washington, D.C., and it would have been a fun little trip because on top of doing something that's very meaningful for me, it would be an in that I ordinarily wouldn't have had, because this senator would have allowed me to participate in that. So I wasn't able to go to that, and I'm up in the mountains and doing this retreat. But I got to tell you, the retreat culminated in all of us sitting around and watching the inauguration of President Obama. And I have to tell you, honestly, I don't think, I know there was a reason why God put me there, up at the retreat and not in Washington, D.C. I know there was a reason. And I want to believe that reason was because it gave me an insight. It gave me an opportunity to really look at, well, at my ministry, look at the ministry that we call our own in reference to the In His Shoes philosophy, in reference to how it looks through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy, and in reference to the man we were celebrating and commemorating, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Let me back up a little bit, because it may seem kind of odd. It's kind of strange. Okay, you've tuned into an Armenian Orthodox podcast. You're going to be, here's a priest of the Armenian Orthodox tradition, and we're talking about a Southern Baptist preacher named Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King. And certainly last weekend here in the United States, we celebrated his birthday with mostly it's now turned into some kind of a sales event, you know, the MLK sale. But what we do here at our mission, at the In His Shoes mission, we have an annual retreat. And I want to back up and tell you why we're there. As an Armenian Christian, as an Armenian Orthodox priest, our history is really made up of a lot of suffering, a lot of suffering and a lot of difficulties, in which the church has really had this prime position of primacy up until, I would say, the Armenian Genocide of 1915. And despite these genocides, despite these barbarians coming through, these people, Armenians, have kept their identity and kept their faith as Christians. Again, up until, say, 1915. Because now there's a hodgepodge of things. There's too many different factions going on. And there's certainly the Armenian Protestant tradition. There's the Roman tradition, and so on. But those are denominational issues that are left for another discussion. But for right now, you look at the Armenian situation, and you say, why are these people being so protective of a God that seemingly wasn't there at their greatest time of need? And so I've preached about this, I've shared this with you many times, and one of the things that we did was back in 2003, when we started the youth ministry here in Glendale, is we took a group of young people up to a retreat, yes, just like this, but it wasn't the MLK retreat, hadn't been formed yet, and we had them talk about their identity as descendants of genocide survivors, as people who had a Christian commitment. And the idea of in his shoes was born at that time. It's, how do you identify yourself? What does that past history have to do with your life today? Well, the only thing it really does have to do is by the way you react to others, by walking in the shoes of others, by feeling other people's pain. By that, you understand their pain, and you understand, in understanding, you accept them, you respect them, and through that respect, your love develops. And so you develop an understanding, and you have an opportunity to express love through that understanding. And we came up with this formula of walking in the shoes. That first year, I've always been heavily influenced by the writings of Dr. King, but it just seemed like a natural fit. And so that first year, we organized the first Martin Luther King Jr. retreat, and that was in a town called Dunlap, again, up in the mountains. And we had our first retreat there, and we talked about Why We Can't Wait. That was a letter that Dr. King had written to his people and saying why there is a necessity to move immediately. Christ has called us to this ministry, and why we can't wait, why we have to actualize the command of Christ, to be the rebellious heart, to be that person out there talking for justice, especially in the light of injustice, so much injustice in the world. Dr. King, of course, talking about what was going on here in the United States at that time, 1960s, the civil rights movement, Vietnam War, an unjust war, and how do you reconcile your faith, your Christian faith, where Jesus says he who lives by the sword will die by the sword? How do you reconcile the Prince of Peace with the idea of war? How do you reconcile somebody who says equality for the masses and you are all God's children with the idea of segregation here in the United States? And here he was, Dr. King, giving a message and an answer, not just in a dream that he articulated so beautifully by saying, I have a dream, but he said that that dream can be actualized. He had been to the mountaintop in his most famous speech toward the end of his life. He said, I've been to the mountaintop, I've seen that we've been to the promised land, that there is that hope. Okay, so you have Dr. King talking in these terms, and the reference he makes is to a people who are searching, who are looking and longing for an answer. And in my life, I was able to make that connection. I saw that, you know, the black experience to me was really parallel to the Armenian experience. I mean, I know people go, they make all these cases for the Jewish situation and saying that, look, the Armenians are like the Jews. I don't think so. You know, yeah, there was a Holocaust, but remember, Armenians were in their own homeland. Yeah, there were Nuremberg trials. There were trials and retribution was given. There hasn't been even an acceptance of the Armenian genocide. And we're outside in a diaspora created because of a genocide. And much like the Black experience, the African American experience, in other words, we are away from home, but we are calling our homes homes. This is what you've gotten. The Blacks were taken out of Africa and they were brought here as slaves against their will. And now, as Dr. King articulated at one point, he says, you know, you can't send me back. Where are you going to send me? He says, I've been here. My daddy's been here. My great granddaddy's been here. We've made America. We are here. We are the Americans. And so too, we are here as Americans, trying to reconcile all of these different feelings. And most of these feelings are connected deep. They're deeply rooted within the idea of identity. And for me, I've been able to make that connection by looking at the work of Dr. King to understand that, you know, we have this beautiful tradition, this Christian tradition, which is really on the pages of paper, on the pages of history, but we're not using it. We're not really mobilizing the people the way Dr. King did, and rightly did, in that expressing that Jesus Christ's message was one of revolution, was one of upturning, one of turning around, the idea of repentance, going one way and then turning around and coming back. And you listen to the speeches, you listen to the sermons, the rhetoric of Dr. King, he was able to move the masses with a very simple idea that love conquers all. And he was all about nonviolence. He refused to pick up the sword. He laid down any kind of weapons that he had except the weapon of love. And he used it. He used it so eloquently. And I think that there's an opportunity for us. So I'm sitting there at the retreat. And as I said, I had tickets to go to Washington, and instead I'm sitting there, I'm realizing that, you know, there's a reason why I'm here, because I'm seeing it unfold. Here we are 10 years into these MLK retreats, and do we have the next generation of leadership that's going to be able to carry on the In His Shoes mission? And perhaps this is where we need to tweak the mission. We need to express ourselves in a bigger idea, in a bigger understanding of ourselves. So there's a lot of stuff going on in my head, and I was very happy to be at that retreat. And let me suffice it to say, I was very happy to be there. Listen, I invited Linda, and I just see her. She's walked into the studio. She's getting her cup of coffee. I'm going to take a break right now. Let's go to the song of the day. We'll readjust the microphones. We're going to have a chance to talk with Linda. She was up at the retreat. And then Anish is coming up with her pomegranate seeds in a few minutes. She'll be talking about the retreat. And of course, more important than the retreat is Dr. King, his legacy, his teachings, and how they fit in with a group of Armenian Orthodox Christians sitting away from him some 40, 50 years later. But for now, we have a song of the day. We always have a nice song of the day. Here's today's. It's called Sarenguka. Mereguka is the name of that song. It is a group called Arax. It is off of their Crossings album. We will put a link on today's show notes so you could check out all of their good music. I hope you enjoyed it. Kind of a change of pace. We were up in the mountains with a lot of snow. Came down, got a little sunshine for a couple days. Now it is raining, but not to fear. In that rain is an opportunity to just kick back a little bit and reflect. And who better to reflect with than Linda? Linda, I'm glad you're in the studio today.
Thanks for inviting me in.
And it's a little bit of a different setup because I'm on the good side of the microphone this time. I'm interviewing you instead of the other way around. But I'm so glad you came down because I was just telling the listeners that what a weekend this was, right? What a weekend. And I know on that last... I don't know what you mean.
I'm sorry. Siri from my phone has joined us too, I guess. Siri, stop it. I didn't ask you any questions. I'm sorry.
What did I say about thunderstorms? Yeah, that was so rightly. Yeah, okay. Anyway, are we off right now?
Yes,
we're off. Okay,
Siri's
yes. Okay.
Gone.
Please turn off all electronic devices when you're in the studio, okay? That's what we should have a giant sign.
We'd rather have the barking dog outside.
Don't start that one. Or you know what's even worse is the next door singing that goes on. You know, they were singing like Christmas carols yesterday.
Yes, we're a little early for Christmas.
Yeah, 11 months early.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the topic. I'm so glad you came in because we had a wonderful weekend, and I want to hear some of your reflections. Anish is going to reflect a little bit from her angle, too.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I always make this point when we do Bible studies, whenever we do any reflections, it's always important to see from different angles. You know, you go to a baseball game, and we all know the man hit the ball, but we're all looking at him from different angles. So if you're sitting in right field, you see one thing. If you're sitting in on the foul line, you see another thing. And each of them are reality, but each of them reflect a different angle. So what was your angle? How was it?
Tell me. So before I get into it, I just came in to check my mail, and I'm not sure why, but there was a bottle of Advil in my mailbox. I had nothing else but a bottle of Advil.
Let's give an audio. Okay, who put that in
so
there?
If anybody knows me, they know how many headaches I walk away with. If I have a moment, I'd like to talk a little bit about my takeaways from the retreat. So a couple things. First of all, I realize that we're not all in the same boat. In fact, we're all in our own little canoe. And as beautiful as it would be for us all to sail to shore in our canoe and all get in the same boat, I think that's the dream, right? That we can all get on the same page. And so with that...
Who are the alls? Who are we talking about?
Community. Okay. I think community and direction. Mm-hmm. Whether it's getting people to understand maybe the direction or the vision of, let's say, a retreat master, mm-hmm. or the vision of any leader. Mm-hmm. I think that vision is always challenging for others to pick it up, for people to really feel to grasp the ideas and the visions mm-hmm. of a leader, which in itself is beautiful too, because from that, you know, you have new ideas and different ideas. So for me, my biggest takeaway was possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Possibilities for growth. And our weekend, our theme was dreaming. It was about dreams. And our dreams are the gate, you know, to the possibilities that we each have inside of us. It helped me see kind of what the groundwork is, what kind of groundwork is needed to actualize those dreams. And so I think that groundwork, it starts with ourselves as individuals. Hmm. And so we have to commit to working on ourselves to build our confidence. And from that, to work on each other and to help our community build their confidence. Because when you're sure of who you are, when you're sure of what you can do as a group collectively, then I think a leader's vision is more possible to attain.
Mm.
But if you're working with people who haven't crossed certain lines in their lives, mm-hmm. so I think true leadership comes from helping people achieve the most and their greatest, and helping people turn those dreams into possibilities and those possibilities into reality. And we're talking about really big things. I mean, with MLK, he changed the entire world.
And how, but okay, you make a good point, and it sounds like, you know, the self-help and people are empowered, and these are all good button words. But at what point did MLK, King had this dream, and the way to make that dream happen is he had to empower the people because he needed the people to move on that.
But who bankrolled that dream? I think Rosa Parks bankrolled that dream. And I think we lose sight of
community.
You think
she bankrolled? I would think she was the catalyst.
Well, okay, she was the catalyst. Yes, she was the catalyst. I guess what I meant
by bankroll.
What
was the bankroll? Yeah, tell me.
You know, she lit the match.
Uh-huh.
And it was two strong people that were able to come together mm-hmm. and to do something huge.
Right.
It was her confidence in saying, no, I'm not going to go to the back of the bus. And him taking that dream, his dream, using that opportunity
mm-hmm.
and making it a possibility for change.
To make the dream. Okay, and I understood. I think we, in one of the movies that we watched up at the retreat, it was the 1963 classic Lilies of the Field with Sidney Poitier. And one of the things that I loved about the movie was really it was two main characters, again, like Rosa and King. This was a mother superior and a young man coming in to work. And what was very interesting was one was faith and was works. And you put them together and you've got the faith and works in action.
Right.
And that's the possibility right. was made. So I saw that, and now I'm trying to see if we could project that onto the Rosa Parks Martin Luther King relationship.
Mm.
I don't know.
You know, I guess for me again, there were personal moments in that which I really want to take to Compass. I know I have taken a detour off of Compass, but you all know me. I hope your listeners are Compass listeners too.
They will be after today, I think. Yeah,
if, okay. if you know me, I like to take my detours and do my thing. And so what I do want to do on Compass is explore a little bit more about women's issues. And that really came up personally for me at the retreat. We talk about you know, MLK. We're talking about the confidence of who you are, mm-hmm. of, you know, not standing for being a subhuman, not standing for being any kind of second class citizen, not inferior to anyone. You know, I relate to this as an American, as an Armenian, as a woman, and so it touched me. It touched me very deeply. And we all have our personal experiences with this.
You know, you said something, and I forgot to mention this to you. I thought about it because you had brought up this issue at the retreat and in one of our discussions about women. And I don't know if you picked it up, but it was in one of the speeches that Dr. King made. He said, if America is going to be a first-class country, it can't have second-class citizens.
Yes.
Of course, referring to the blacks.
Yes.
But it's the same thing. If the Armenian Church, if Armenian Orthodoxy is going to be a first-class religion, faith, it can't have second-class citizens.
Thank you. So these movements, you know, of Christ, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, these movements, what they're ignited. They're ignited by who, and supported. Mary Magdalene, Sojourner Truth, Joan of Arc. Okay, the saints, Guyana and Hripsime. See what happens when you educate a woman?
Yeah, exactly.
Rosa Parks, right? What did these women do? They put the faith in motion. They put it in motion. And so a church that excludes women from spiritual leadership, I mean, I'm sorry, it's a church bound to operate subpar. I don't think that, I don't think Christ wanted a subpar church. And a movement is necessary, and I'm very passionate about this. You know, this isn't about feminism. This isn't about women's rights.
I agree.
This is so much bigger. This is about saying we cannot exclude anybody.
You know, I'm with you. I was just saying before you walked into the studio, I was mentioning that, you know, I had that moment when I was watching the inauguration. There he was, President Obama. Remember all the images? We were sitting around and we were up in the mountains, so we didn't have any TV reception. Fortunately, we had a nice little internet connection, and that was really kind of very special to mm-hmm. me. We plugged him in on a laptop, and we all huddled around the laptop and had the speakers amplified, and we enjoyed it. It was so awakening for me. First of all, James Taylor singing America the Beautiful. I related to that, you know, that is, and we had the poet. What an incredible poem.
Blanco.
The woman who gave the inaugural invocation, she gave a beautiful prayer. And at the end, she says, in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, it's about time. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, how beautiful was that? Mm-hmm. And then President Obama speaking. I mean, I know we all wiped away tears. We were wiping away tears because we realized that the dream can happen. Mm-hmm. Sure, you take some detours along the way. You get messed up along the way. Maybe his first term had some difficulties. Obviously, it did. Obviously, you know, you come and you inherit all this mess. Okay, you're going to have some difficulties, but those dreams are still there, and those dreams become reality. We had those tears in our eyes, and I'm looking around the room, and I'm realizing that that's what Armadoxy. Mm-hmm. That's what we came. God has brought us to this In His Shoes mission. Armadoxy has developed out of there. Armadoxy is the melding of Armenian Orthodoxy with the world today. It's relevancy. Yesterday, I had a guy sitting right where you're at. He was in my office yesterday, and he turned to me and he said, we were talking about quite a few different things, and he said, as an Armenian priest, what's the biggest challenge? Just out of the blue, he just asked me that. And you know, when people ask you these things, they're not looking for some philosophical thing. They're looking for an immediate, and it just came to me like without even a hesitation. I just looked at him, I said, it's relevancy. Relevancy. I can't believe that last month, Sandy Hook happened. 20 kids were killed. And there were churches within the Armenian tradition. There were churches, parishes, where the priest didn't even discuss it with his congregation. Blank faced. Yeah. You're not giving answers. Yeah. And so you're now talking about women being excluded. How can we justify telling people, come to the church, and, you know, I've heard all the answers. Yeah. Well, you know, you can serve in different ways.
Right, yeah. I can't wait to go blast on Compass about this. It's like, you know what, give me a better answer. Don't talk to me about the canons. Don't talk to me about, well, there's no need. Don't talk to me about in Armenia it's not an issue. You know what? I am in America. I was baptized in this church. I got married in this church. My children were born in this church. It is my church. It is the Armenian church in America, and I want to not be alienated because of my sex. Mm. I'm not saying that I want to be a priest, but you know what? If that phone rings for somebody else who is a woman, they better be able to answer it.
Wow. Can't wait for your Compass. Jeez. Well, and I'm so glad. And I think that's why I wanted it, because I know at the end of it, we were talking at the end of the retreat, I was talking with a few other people about there was that moment at that inauguration speech. It kind of culminated the whole MLK retreat. And we realized that, okay, dreams can become possibilities. Yes. And it's not just about talking the talk, but it's walking the walk. And at some point, we need to push ourselves. We need to push ourselves out of the comfort level.
And it was a really big eye-opener for me when we listened to Martin Luther King's sermon in the morning.
Yeah, for our listeners, twice a day we had services. So on Sunday morning, we celebrated the Eucharist that night. So Sunday morning, what we did is we had a small little service, and the sermon was given by Dr. King. We played that part. Go ahead.
And so in that, you know, I mean, he's talking about how he's getting these threats, and, you know, the guy's down to the wire on this, and he's like, can I, you know, what did I get myself into here?
Yeah.
You know, and really pulling for faith and starting something and committing to it and taking it all the way. These are huge things. And honestly, I'm passionate about this. How passionate am I? What do I need to do to, you know, be able to take the baton and give it to the next person. Who is
exactly.
the next person? And, am I alone in this?
Oh, now you got it. Yeah, who is the next person? That's an important question that I think is coming up.
You've brought up the deacon, the deaconess Seta, so many times. You toured all these Armenian churches. There were no other women who were interested in this. Is it because they really weren't interested, or is there a fear about being the freak? Is it a fear about what happens to the alienated when they do stand up and say, I am not a subhuman here. If right. I want to do this, should be available to me.
Exactly, exactly. No, you're so on target. And I think that this is going to be, at least for me, this was a turning point. And it's really an opportunity for us to reevaluate our ministry and move forward. I'm very hopeful in the coming year. My biggest problem is time. I mean, we got back off of the mountain Monday and we're thrown right back into the fire. We're doing all kinds of stuff, but we do need to make the time to develop In His Shoes, Apostle. And along with this, hey, you know, there's a practical side to it. It needs financing. It needs funding, and it needs proper funding. We make small calls, but it's basically this small church here on the corner of Glendale that's doing all of this incredible work. I mean, even we were talking with the people over at Dative Outreach. We just started that program for domestic violence. I mean, the funding, again, is coming out of this small little church. And, of course, our listeners here through Apostle, we got to get it to a critical mass. Yeah. I mean, this is not to discount the wonderful people who are listening and support it, but it's got to get to a critical mass.
Well, you know, it is a new movement, and I think that anytime you are putting some... Actually, it's not a new movement. This is a 2,000-year-old movement, but with a different flavor. And I think anytime you put something new forward, you know, those Armenian churches that never even mentioned Sandy Hook, they're caught in that, you know, the what do you call it? That old... blah, blah, blah,
plus Inca, yeah.
You know, it's like, come on, people, the world's changing. Catch up to it. And so are we going to be a movement that's stuck, or are we going to, you know, light that match and get things in motion?
You know, I said plus Inca. This morning we were watching
you're
saying, where did that
come from?
Yeah, like, where did that come from? This morning we were watching this little episode, I think it was on ABC News, about the wives of plastic surgeons and how they get plastic surgery and how it's become an addiction and so on and so on. And they had appropriately named them the plastic wives. And I thought, wow, you know, when you think about it, I mean, look here in my office, I have this small little plastic Jesus and I keep it in front of me because it's a bobblehead Jesus. I keep it in front of me just to remind myself that I don't want a plastic Jesus. Mm-hmm. I don't want something that's phony. Mm-hmm. I want the real thing. Mm-hmm. And He's given us that.
And I think because the plastic, the that confidence you get, I think when aesthetically you look good, it wears off.
Yeah.
So you keep needing to go back to get that, to replicate that feeling.
Mm.
Well, when your faith is strong and you're confident all the time, you don't have to replicate anything. It's with you. It's there. It's hardcore.
Right, 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 right.
So, yeah.
It's having that confidence. Having that confidence in who you are, beliefs, and what you believe in.
And even when they try to knock you down, that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't stick to you. It doesn't bug you.
I'm glad we walked away with that. I think that it was a wonderful weekend. Yeah. It was a wonderful weekend. And I think there's going to come time. I'm looking forward to your compass, your next compass, because I think a lot of elements are going to be thrown out there. And I'm really looking forward to it.
And thank you for letting me come on your show.
I'm glad you made it. I was looking for somebody to sound off with, so I'm glad you're here. Listen, Anush is here with her pomegranate seeds. I'm going to let her talk a little bit too, because her insight, it's a different little perspective, but a very, very beautiful perspective. I did some cheating. I read the script before, so I know what she's going to talk about. Enjoy.
Patience, perseverance, and faith. This past weekend was our annual MLK retreat. We came together, all of us, with different reasons. For friendship, some for community, for a getaway, maybe an excuse to get out of work. But all of us came together knowing that we would be spending the next 3 days learning about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and his teachings. There is so much that went on, so much that I'd like to share, but it's so wrapped in emotion. I did a lot of soul searching this weekend, I was able to define my own personal aha moments as we shared stories and tried to relate our lives to Dr. King's teachings based on Christ's principles of love and nonviolent resistance. I think what I personally focused on was our ability to affect change when we lead a Christ-centered, love-centered life. I thought about the Montgomery bus boycott and how effective it was in bringing about the civil rights movement. I have known the facts for years, but what never occurred to me was that this change, this boycott, lasted over a year before a result was achieved. Unlike the union strikes of today, an agreement was not reached in a week's or a month's time. Over a year. And why was this so important to me? Because it involved patience, which has never been my strong suit, and it involved persistence and faith. It was a huge sacrifice for the protesters to be without transportation. Given that most did not own their own cars, giving up riding a bus and having to arrange your own ride was not easy. Yet they persevered because sitting back was no longer an option, and they achieved their goal of equality while riding on the bus, and then, of course, the greater goal of equal rights was inevitable. I have a lot of goals in my life as well, and all too often they seem unattainable. I've been trying to make a go of my jewelry business, but it's difficult with a full-time day job and then family obligations. But it's not unattainable. It's going to take time, persistence, patience, and faith. So I took this lesson away with me from the weekend. Keep dreaming, keep praying, keep believing. We were also asked to choose one of Dr. King's quotes and share why it spoke to us. If you read my blog a few weeks back entitled The Jumper, I wrote about a person who was contemplating suicide by jumping off a freeway bridge in downtown LA. Our building overlooked this scene, and I was taken aback when some of my coworkers were going and coming out of the corner office laughing, making fun, and just waiting for this poor man to jump. As disgusted and saddened as I was by their actions, I was even more disgusted by my inaction. So you can see why this quote struck a chord with me. Here's the quote. He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetrate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it. I still don't know why I remained silent that afternoon, but the following day I did speak out about my disappointment. This quote helped me to focus on the fact that I do need to stand up, even when I'm the only one standing. Finally, on Monday morning, before leaving to come home, we were able to watch President Obama's inauguration ceremony. I don't remember ever being so moved during this ceremony as I was this time around. I think it was because of the emotions of the weekend, and the president's inauguration was the perfect ending to it. We sat in front of the laptop watching, tears streaming down some of our faces. I thought of how young our country was and how much there was to learn, but I was hopeful because of how far we had come since Dr. King's time. But there was still so far to go. There was still racial tension and hatred. We prayed along with the prayers that were recited, and I was renewed with hope when they prayed in Christ's name. Obama's speech was moving, hopeful, and inspirational. It was filled with love and hopefulness and embracing diversity. And the poem that was read by Bronco was the tip of the iceberg for me. It was filled with imagery of our country, of all walks of life, of our day, our unity. I posted it here on my blog in case you missed it. So we packed it up and we headed down the hill, forever changed. I am hopeful for America, and I am hopeful for peace and for change. But if we want change, we need to work toward it and not lose faith in our dreams. It's going to take patience, inconvenience, perseverance, and faith. It's going to take action and prayer and a God-centered life. But it is achievable if we truly want it. This is Anush wishing you a pomegranate day. filled with blessings and ripe with possibilities.
Thank you, Anish, for sharing that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. First of all, it was a great retreat, but the culmination of that, the inauguration events, watching the speech, hearing those words, the prayer, the poem, the songs, everything came together so beautifully. And, you know, I really wanted to share some of it with our listeners, but I'm hoping, you know, what I'll do is I'm going to put a link to the entire inauguration on today's show notes. That's probably the best way to share it. And if you have some time, do take some time to watch the whole thing, or at least some highlights of it. I agree with you. I don't think there's been another political event that has affected me in the way that this one has. And also, did you all catch, Anish referred to Dr. King's comment about inaction. You know, it's just as wrong to not act. And today's sunsash was very similar, and it came to us from Albert Einstein. Let me see if I can find it. It says dangerous. It says, the world is a dangerous place to live, not because of people who are evil, but because of people who don't do anything about it. Along the same lines as Dr. King's remark about inaction and silence. And so, you know, we're in good company, right? We're in good company. Listen, I'm going to let Susie make her announcement about how you can get involved. When I come back, I'm going to give some parting shots and put it all together and call it a day for today. Here's Susie.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vodskin, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on 6 continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vodskin.
There were a lot of wake-up and aha moments at the retreat, and I guess there's supposed to be one, but there were several. Several, and I think that it came in the way of ministry, of what this ministry means to us and how important it is. If you truly believe that the church is the body of Christ, as is referred to in Holy Scriptures, as is referred to by our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the head and we are the body, the church, you have to believe that that body cannot be inanimate. It has to be animate. It has to be reaching out. It has to be doing the work of God. And in many ways, I think that the Inishu's mission is an expression of that. I spoke briefly about it, and I invite you to get involved in our website and see really what it's about. Through the years, we have so many opportunities to really do the work of God, and they need to be made available to us via the church. When you support our ministry over here, when there it's Epostle Inishu's, when you send in a donation, you're a part of that mission. You're a part of and part and parcel of that body, because we all react to it in different ways. And there's people that have time. There's other people who have money. There's people who have ability and other people who may have the inability to do one thing or have no talent in one area may have talents in other areas. You'd be surprised. We opened up the Dative Outreach just a few weeks ago, and already people are coming up. This is our domestic violence outreach program. People are coming coming up. And just today we got a call for people to come and participate in different ways. I mean, every day God is opening up new avenues and new opportunities for us. And we have to be ready to answer that call, answer that message. Now, today we shared with you quite a bit of what was going on with the Martin Luther King Retreat. It's our annual event. There's people who plug in, and I invite you to get on our website, take a look at the pictures, take a look at the commentaries, but also consider yourself a part of that. If you're listening right now, if you're praying with us, if you've prayed for this ministry, you're a part of it. Okay, you're part of this ministry, and it's important. It's important that we all feel that this isn't one person's ministry. It's not one direction. It is the direction that Christ has sent us into. Go out there and love people. Take care of people. Peter comes up to Jesus at the end of the Gospel of St. John. Three times, Jesus says, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Of course, you know I love you." And Jesus says, "Take care of my sheep. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." In other words, we're in this together. Take advantage of the opportunities that are given to you. The church is the body of Christ to tend, to feed, to take care of the sheep, of the people. Many, many ways to get involved. Get involved. Whether you do it on a local level, and we encourage you always to get involved in your church on a local level, or on a global level with some of the programs that we have, these are all in need of our prayers and our fervent support. Do remember us in our prayers and drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you, because when you do, be assured that we remember you by name in our prayers. We have some late breaking news, a news flash. Oh, how appropriate is that music? Huh? I've been waiting a long time to use that. It's that little jingle to let us know that something important is coming up. But you don't get too much of that in the podcast environment. But right now, as we were recording, up on our screen pops up a new email. Comes to us from our dear friend Harry Hagopian. And so it's very appropriate that we just break it right now and let you in on something very important, something very blessed. He reports that a new patriarch of the Holy See of Jerusalem has been elected. According to Dr. Hagopian, in his writing, he says Archbishop Nurhan Manukyan was elected earlier today, January 24th, as the 97th Patriarch of the Armenian Church in the Holy Land, Jordan, Israel, and Palestine. And he goes on to talk about Archbishop Nurhan, his eminence, now his beatitude. And you know what? We are at the end of today's podcast, but definitely next week we will come back to this topic, talk about the Archbishop, talk about the Patriarchate, and the Patriarch himself. So look forward to that next week, but I just had to share this with you. Do check out his blog. There we'll make a mention of it and have a link on today's show notes. Well, we are at the end of today's show. I want to invite you to get involved at all of the usual spots. We are on Facebook as well as inhisshoes.org as well as Epostle. And it's easy to remember, that's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. And of course, you can find us, our blogs at Armodoxy at Blogspot. We have Sunsash, which is a daily inspiration that comes out to you. So many ways to get involved. Just check us out. You know what? Just go to epostle.net and find some nice videos there too. For the wonderful production crew who has put today's show together for us, for Susie, our producer, for Linda, for stopping in today and sharing some thoughts with us, and with hopes that she'll have a compass out very soon, for Anush with her pomegranate seeds, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.